Hello, thank you for listening today and downloading the Grace Tabernacle podcast. We invite you to journey with us as we transform our hearts and focus our eyes to worship. Our mission statement is presenting Jesus, the revelation of grace and truth that transforms lives. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful for achieving the goal of growing closer with Christ. Now let's join in fellowship with a message.
Today I want to talk to you about the fruit of the Spirit. And I want to talk to you about the fruit that strengthens you. Anybody need any strength? Anybody besides me get weary sometimes in the battle, sometimes weary with all the things that you deal with in life, and you need strength. You need strength because you get weary. And the word of the scripture that I want to launch from this morning is Psalm 16, verse 11. Psalm 16, verse 11, you, talking about the Lord, you will make known to me the path of life. God will make known to you, Paul, the path of life he has for you. Your path may be a little different from my path, but it all leads to the same place or the same one, and that's Jesus. You, God, will make known to me the path of life. I'd like you to say that part with me. And as if you're, you know, claiming that right now for yourself. You will make known to me the path of life. That's God's responsibility. God said, I will do this. God's responsibility is to make known to you the path of life. And then he tacks on this particular part that I absolutely love, Brian. He says, and in your presence is fullness of joy. How does this go together? God's going to make known to me the path of life, and in his presence, there's a fullness of joy. Let's find out what joy really is first. Joy, I've preached on joy all through December. I thought I'd knew a lot about it, but I still don't know much about it. Joy is what I've been meditating on, is actually discovering God's presence with you. Now, we know academically and intellectually he's with us all the time. He's omnipresent. But you still have to discover the ways he'll make himself known just to you. It's not for everybody. It's just known to you throughout your day, throughout your life. And there's a joy in discovering that you know that God is with you up here, but it's a different thing when you experience knowing that God's with you and he's manifested himself to you in some strange way that you can't tell everybody, they just think you're crazy, but God just manifests himself to you. It may be finding your car keys. Anybody ever done that? And God manifests to you, he tells you where they are after you simmer down and calm down for a while. And maybe it's in a problem, like I had, you know, a few months back, I had a water pipe in the yard bust, and it was complicated beyond my pay grade to know how to fix that particular issue. And I sat down and talked to God about it and dug that hole up and studied that thing and prayed about it. And I said, God, you know everything. You're with me. You're a genius. You're a master plumber. Tell me how to fix this. And after I waited on God for a little while, he showed me a real simple procedure. And I became a master plumber. No, don't call me to do plumbing. But no, he helped me. And I discovered the joy of God being with me in a little silly thing like that. And several months back, even further than that, many of you heard the story when I was walking on the beach one day and found a piece of a sand dollar. And I thought, you know, God was speaking to me, like, stop and pick up that sand dollar. I went back and it was in the water and the wave had already come. I thought, I'll never find that. And I reached down and picked it up. It was a little piece of sand dollar. I got it in my office right now. I'll show you. And I looked and I said, now, God, what are you trying to tell me through this piece of sand dollar? And I flipped that thing over, and on the other side, somebody had written in ink on that thing, Jesus. Now, what's the odds of a preacher walking on the beach in the waves in that particular time? You know, I felt like God said, stop and pick that thing up, and I picked it up and turned it over, and there it is. What are the odds of that? I'm just telling you, God, it wants you to find him. It's like hide and seek. He hides, but he wants you to seek him. He wants you to say, now look, right now I don't feel God. I don't see God. I don't hear God or anything like that. He wants you to seek him, and he'll show up in ways that are just special between you and him. It's the joy of discovering that God's presence, he's with you. And it's just for you and him. It's just intimacy. It's not necessarily so you can preach a sermon and talk about it. It's just for you. The joy of discovering his presence. Look at this, the NLT version, how it says this in Psalm 16:11. You will show me the path of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever. Oh, I love that. And then the Passion Translation says it a little different. For you bring me a continual revelation of resurrection life, which is Jesus. The path to the bliss that brings me face to face with you. Have you ever had one of those moments where God just, you know, God is manifesting himself to you, and you just have to laugh. I said, God, you got a great sense of humor. That's what I did on the beach when I picked up that sand dollar and turned it over and it had Jesus written on the back. I just had to laugh. I said, God, you are really funny. How you like to just show me that you're showing me. So whenever Jesus said, it was almost his last words, some of his last words were, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You got to remember that. These are important. I will never leave you nor forsake you. It will look like I have, but I have never left you. I've never forsaken you. I'm always with you. I'm with you always, continually. So when we're in this situation where maybe life is difficult right now, we don't know where to go. We're asking God for guidance. We got a decision to make and we don't know which one to make. Or we have a need in our life that we need God to come through for us. We need to be asking the question to the Lord. Now, Lord, what do you want to be to me in this situation? Because he wants to be something to you. I want to be your comforter. I want to be your shepherd. I want to show you I'm your provider, not your job. I want to be your healer. Whatever it is, you just ask the Lord and let him answer. Let him decide how he wants to answer to you. And lately, I've been asking the Lord, in situations in my own life, I've been asking, now, Lord, what do you want to be for me in this trial, in this situation that I'm going through that I don't see any end to, that just kind of wears me down? And he whispers to me this. When I say whispers, I mean in my mind, my thoughts. He says to me, I want to be your strength. I want to be your strength because your strength runs out. You get tired too easy. You want to quit too quick. You want to give up hope too soon. I need you to run the Boston Marathon. I need you to persevere. And so you're going to have to find a strength that's greater than your human strength, because your human strength is not enough for you to be able to make it through the plans and the path that I have for you. I need to show you my strength. I want to be your strength, Gary. And I said, okay, great, Lord, I'm all ears. I want your strength in my life. How do I get it? And you want to get things from God? I'm going to tell you what you have to get. You have to pay attention. You have to learn to pay attention to him and block out everybody else. And that's not easy to do in this busy world. And most people in the church don't even know how to have a quiet time alone with God, be honest with you. I had 7 grandchildren this week at our home, We have a small 1,800 square foot home. So there's seven grandchildren that are highly active and a lot of fun. And then we have Pam and I, so that's two more, that's nine. Then we have Ken and Sarah, my daughter and son-in-law, that's 11. And then we have my mom who lives right next door, and they all get together in our little house. Try having a quiet time when you hold that score. Try having a quiet time. Well, you can. You can. And there are times that we all have wonderful moments with God. We call them bliss or blessing moments. You know, you've had those moments. Those are the ones you talk about. You talk about the times, you know, you've had encounters with God, experiences with God. Maybe it's at a conference. Maybe it's at church. Maybe you fell out in the Spirit. Maybe you had a vision. Maybe this. And we all have those wonderful moments that we treasure. Those are in our treasure box in our heart, and we keep them for the rest of our life. And anytime we have opportunity, we talk about them. We bring them out, and we share them with other people. This is an encounter I had. This is what God did for me. This is what God, whatever. We all have these glory moments. But we also have other times in our life, and seemingly more of them than the glory moments. We have the times where there's life seems hard, and there's no awareness of God. It's like a wilderness time, where you go through a wilderness, maybe a loneliness time, maybe a dark night of the soul, where you're sad or depressed or whatever. There are times of blessing. Are the glory moments where you experience His presence, but then there's the time of building. And the time of building is when you don't see God. You don't hear a word from God. You're walking through the wilderness, and God knows that we need both. So I don't know where you are right now. Are you in a time of blessing? But man, it's so easy to experience God. It's easy. You don't even have to pray. You're just in the glory. Or are you in a time of building where you don't hear anything from the Lord? You're hopeful that the preacher is going to call your name out today, give you a word of knowledge or something. You're a prophetic word. You're praying, oh God, just make him walk over here and say this to me. Make him, all those kind of things. You need both of these times. Times of building. Times where if you're in a time of building, sometimes you think God's angry with you. That's not true. He's not angry with you. He's already poured out all of His wrath and anger on the cross. He loves you. You are His beloved. You heard Baruch say that at the beginning of the service. You heard someone else say that too today, that God loves you with an everlasting love. He looks at you just pure love. You said, well, what about my sin? Well, I know He's aware of your sin, but your sin does not intimidate God. And it will not stop His love for you. You have a good, good Father. So in this time of building, when you don't feel God, what God is often doing, I know in my own experience, He's weaning me off of wanting to feel something. He's weaning me off of, God, just give me a glory moment. Just give me a tingling feeling. Just give me a vision. Give me something. He's weaning me off of that because we walk by faith and not by sight. He's just as much with you in the time of building as He is in the time of manifested blessing. You know that. Last week in pre-service prayer, you ought to come to that and just come and be still before God. And I recommend not even praying, just being still and have a little notepad. Be like Habakkuk in the Bible, Habakkuk chapter 2. He says, I'm going to go set up in the watchtower, and I'm going to sit, and I'm going to wait and see if He has anything to say to me. Be like Habakkuk. Come with your notepad and your Bible and just be still. For a half an hour, we're still. Toward the end of that half hour last week, I was right over here somewhere, and I had my eyes closed, and in my mind, immediately, I saw a dark room. And blinds, like in a window, were closed, like that. And here I am in this dark room. It's dark. And the blinds are closed. And I saw this in my mind. This is my imagination. God's using my imagination. He's an artist. He's really good at it. So he has us here. And I'm thinking, okay, now, Lord, is this you or is this me trying to come up with something? What's going on? And you have to be still. You have to pay attention. And as I'm still, as I pay attention, not long after that, and actually the blinds were a lot darker than that in my mind, right in front of the dark blinds, because I was wanting to see through the blinds. I felt like, okay, are you kind of giving me a message here that I need to open the blinds and I need to see through? Am I blind, not seeing something I need to see? What are you telling me, God? And just then, right in front of that window where it was dark and I was wanting to see through, was a very light silhouette outline of Jesus. He was in front of this. As if to say, quit trying to look out there for me. Quit trying to look beyond where you are right now. I'm right here with you right now. Celebrate my presence right now. I'm with you in the darkness. Celebrate me. Quit looking for out there. You want to know what's next, what the future is, and what's going on. I am with you right here in your dark moment. Celebrate that. Don't focus out there. You only have the present. The past you can't do anything about. The future's not here yet. You only have right now. You're to enjoy this moment with Him right now. He is with you right now just as much as He has been with you in those times of glory and blessing when your socks were blown off. He's with you. Enjoy. Just enjoy. Relax and be comfortable in your own skin. And let God be God and just enjoy His presence. He's right here with you. And so I went on, I closed up my notepad and we began service. I just wrote that down. And later on I came back and I asked God some more questions about that. And one of the things I asked the Lord was, what is your vision for my life, God, for my family and for this church? What's your vision? And I wrote down what He said. He said, for all of you to live in the reality of the invisible God. The Lord Himself is always with you. You do not have to react to situations. Only respond as my presence guides you. Depend upon me. Live in the reality of the invisible God. That's what He said His vision was. Wow, I should have known that. And so we're in training. Here on earth, we're in training. I'm in training. I haven't arrived. Listen, I'm a piece of work. You didn't have to laugh right then. You could have said, oh, no. I am. I'm a piece of work. But not a challenge for the Lord, and neither are you. We're in training. We have this thing called reaction time, you know, where the devil often will do something, or just things will happen, things break down, or you'll run across some mean people or whatever, and things will happen, or someone will say something that in your past, it was natural for you to flare up. You know what your triggers are. Someone say something about this, someone do something about that, and that pushes your buttons, and you flare up, and you get all ugly and mean, and or whatever, however you react. We all have that. I'm wondering if I'm preaching to a bunch of dead bodies or living people. I think we all have that. Okay. Now, that reaction time, as we walk now in the Lord, as we're walking with God, we're in training, that reaction time should be increasing before we react. In other words, it's taken longer. But we don't react like before someone would say something. Boy, we'd flare up right then. They'd call you a dirty name and you'd say something right back. But now that time has increased. We don't react as fast as we used to react. We don't get into road rage and want to kill somebody because they cut us off like we used to. Well, I don't know where you are, but I mean, we've all got something, and that's reaction time. That should be increasing. So we're not quick on the trigger. Now, the response time is another thing. Now, we're learning to respond to the presence in us. He's always with us. We're learning to respond to God. And this response time that we have should be decreasing. In other words, we are quicker to respond to Him rather than to react in the flesh. Are you with me? We're learning. Everybody say we're learning. So we need grace with one another. We need patience with one another. We're learning. And look, I'll guarantee you, if you are a Christian, you're born again, you're better off now than you were last week. Probably. Because God's working on that. He's working on it. He's training us. He's teaching us to abide in Him. Abiding is our responsibility. Abiding in Christ is my responsibility, my response to His ability. I am abiding. That's my response to Him. And our part is not to let negative things that happen stop us from abiding. Being aware of His presence. He's with me always. He didn't say, I'm with you always until you lose your temper. I'm with you always until you act ugly. No, He's with us always. Can you imagine in your mind that Jesus being with you when you acted out your ugliest in the flesh? Wow, He was. And He is and He will be. He's with you. That's our God. So abiding is our responsibility. Now let me ask you a question. I want you to think. What is the opposite of abiding? Not a trick question. I hear people say not abiding. That's a good one. That's a good one. Thank you. I wish I'd have thought of that. That's right. People will say, well, it's not abiding. Well, more specific than that, the opposite of abiding is going solo. You're on your own. Self. That's the opposite. See, abiding, you're in codependency. Abiding is I'm depending on your presence with me. I'm depending on your word that you said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm depending on that I can ask you to help me. I'm depending on you're my defender. You're my protector. I'm depending on your counsel. But the opposite of abiding is just self, just living alone, not trusting in God, maybe even being defiant. I can do this without you. And yet Jesus said, without me, you can't do anything. Well, we can do some things, but not anything worthwhile. Jesus said it this way in John 15:5. He says, as you live in union with me as your source, fruitfulness will stream from within you. But when you live separated from me, you're powerless. So what I'm trying to help you understand and myself understand this morning is joy is discovering God's presence with you in the moment, in the trial, in the mundane, in the loneliness, in the discouragement, in the disappointment, in the fun times. God is with you. He wants to enjoy your company. He wants you to enjoy His company. And when you discover that, wow, God is with me, it brings radiance to your life. It brings life to you. That's the joy. It's the joy of the Lord. It just comes. Joy doesn't have to be ecstatic. There are ranges of joy. A range from joy could be, like, I think one of the ranges starting down at the very lowest level of joy would be like Psalm 37 says, delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you desires of your heart. I think that's probably one of the lowest levels of joy. So just down here. So you have a range from joy, from just a calm delight, just knowing that He's with you. It brings a radiance. Thank you, God, I'm not alone. Thank you, understand loneliness. Thank you that you understand this depression. Thank you that you understand this anger. Thank you that you understand me. And like Alice was reading Psalm 139, where can you go from God's presence? It's the joy of discovery He's with me. So the range from joy starts maybe down here in this low level of just delighting yourself. Talking to yourself, thank you, God. I'm reminding myself that you're with me. Thank you. From delight all the way to who knows how many different ranges or levels of joy there are in different manifestations. I mean, it's probably innumerable, but all the way from delight to delirious. I mean, over here where you, You're so joyful, you're ecstatic, you're running around and you're screaming and you're hollering like you've won the Super Bowl or something, and you're ecstatic. So joy has all these ranges. Even a range over here, you're just laughter. Here's laughter. Laughter. Have you ever had joy? You just laugh. You ever have joy and cry? You see how mentally we're messed up we can be? You're crying, you're happy, and you're crying. And over here, you're delirious. I had an encounter one time with the Lord I saw something that just kind of tickled me a little bit. It was kind of funny, and too long to go into the story right now. You can read about it in the book, Crossing Forbidden Boundaries. And by the way, guests, don't leave and get without getting one of those. But in there, I tell the story about the time we went to Toronto, and I saw something kind of funny just happened, just tickled me a little bit. And on our way out of this conference, we're walking out to the car. I just mentioned to one of the guys, I said, "What happened to you back there? That was kind of really weird. What was going on?" And this person started telling it, and I started laughing. Another person here started laughing, and we laughed, and we laughed, and we laughed, and I mean could not stop laughing. And we're in the parking lot and laughing so hard that I'm down on the ground going, "Please, oh my goodness, I'm crying with laughter." I got tears, snot, everything coming out of me. And I laughed for about 45 minutes. My jaws hurt. My ribs hurt. And I was hurting so bad. But, you know, I thought, was this just natural, just, you know, being tickled? Or was it supernatural? At that moment, I didn't know, honestly. We got to the hotel room, and it was about midnight. This is a late conference. And we couldn't walk. As when we started to walk into the foyer, we had to stop because I started laughing again. We thought, they'll call the cops on us. They'll think we're all drunk. They will. They'll think we're crazy or we're drunk or something. And we laughed, and I called my wife on the phone, and now it's about 1 o'clock in the morning. And I called her, and she's wondering, what? No, she was down here, and I called her from Toronto, and I was telling her, Pam, and I tried to explain to her, then I start laughing. I couldn't stop. And now my ribs are really hurting. My jaw and my face is hurting so bad. One of the guys had to explain to her what happened to us, and she starts laughing on the phone. And so finally, I'm begging God. I'm really at this point, I'm serious. I'm begging God at this point, please, please, Lord, I can't take it anymore. I can't take it anymore. Please, please, please. And it subsided enough for me to get in the lobby. And I got up there into my room and I laid down in the bed and I went to sleep. And about 2:30 in the morning, I woke up and I started laughing again. I said, "Oh no, please, God, please, please." Now you say, what is that goofiness all about? I know it sounds strange. For me, I realize now it was healing. A merry heart doeth good like medicine. And I needed God's medicine to go in some deep places of my heart and life. And so did some other people. And brought some freedom and detachment and healing. And it was the strangest thing I'd ever experienced. And then, you know, it was over with. I didn't try to conjure up. I didn't try to make anything happen. No one told me to laugh. And then there was healing. It came out of that. It was just healing. I can't tell you all the things. I don't know the depth of what happened there. I'm just trying to tell you there's a range of joy. God knows what you need when you need it. Let God be God. You just be you and be comfortable in your own skin. Another encounter I had, and just trying to tell you all these crazy things, but this happened over in Orlando at a particular conference, and a pastor there prayed for us, and it was like an impartation service. He laid hands on us and prayed for us, he laid hands on me and prayed for me, whatever. And when we started to leave that conference that day, we were going out for lunch. I told Pam, I said, "Pam, something strange really happened to me there. I don't know what it was." And I started crying. Man, I started weeping deeply, started crying. And all the way to the car, I'm crying and I'm weeping. And she didn't understand what's going on. I didn't understand what's going on until later on. I realized it was a baptism of love or a baptism of His Spirit of some kind that just released some things inside me that needed to be released. And it brought some joy. And I really hesitated to come back and tell the church about it. But the next Sunday, the Lord just, I didn't even plan it in my message. I was up here ministering and the Lord said, "You going to give away what I gave you?" So I went ahead and told them how strange I was and what happened. And we just laid hands on people. And I don't know why or how, but different people got delivered from certain things. And some were slain in spirit. Even to this day, people will tell you that, wow, I will never forget that service. It was just something special that happened. I don't understand all that. But I'm going to let God be God. I'm not inviting some strange spirit in here. I'm not inviting something of the devil to come in and be a counterfeiter. No, absolutely not. Jesus is Lord here. And He leads. I try to follow as best I can. I'm not always there. But what I'm trying to point out to you is that God has a way of ministering to you joy, because you need joy, because actually the end result of joy is strength. It's strength. It's supernatural strength. See, for example, it may be that, you know, you had a near fatal car accident, or you overdosed on medication or drugs intentionally. Maybe you were intentionally, something maybe happened to you. Let's say a car accident, that you were driving down the road doing everything right, and somebody runs into you, and next thing you know, you're in the hospital, or you could have been in the hospital, and they're wondering how you even walked away from it. And then you experience, after this thing, you discovered the joy that God was with you and He protected you from something that you had no control over. And now you have joy. You discovered His presence was with you. You discovered He is better than you thought He was. Suddenly you're aware He was protecting you. He was arranging things. He knew what happened, but He arranged the police officer to be there. He arranged for the paramedic to be there. He arranged for the neighbor to show up the right time. He arranged things to happen for you that you could not have arranged. And now you look back and go, wow, God is with me. And that's the joy. That's the joy. Now, last week I shared with you quickly a scripture that you need to see, because I saw some things out of it this week that I didn't see before. In Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2 and 3, look with me. "Certainly, God is my salvation," and I have underneath that Yeshua, because in the Hebrew, that word salvation is the word Yeshua, or our name for Jesus. "Certainly, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song." Now, if we had time to go into it, I'd tell you more that how important worship is. How important it is to keep a melody in your heart always before the Lord. How important it is to keep a song. Even if it's the same song you sing over and over, that's fine. But keep a song, because your song is part of your strength. They go hand in hand. "He has become my salvation. Therefore, with what?" You got to have this to get that. "With joy, you will draw out water out of the wells of Yeshua." I had a bucket. I threw it out and show you. You got to do the drawing. What is the bucket? Read it again. What's the bucket you're going to draw out the water with? I'm not getting a response, so I ain't moving until you answer. Joy. That's the only way you're going to draw out the refreshing that you need. You've got to have the joy is what draws down out of the deep of Jesus within you. You discover He was with you all the time. You discover He's never left you. You discover He's never forsaken me. you discover. I've gone through difficult times, but He has always led me. He's always provided for me. I'm still here. So certainly I will trust in Him. Joy comes during discovering God's presence, but strength is the outcome. Strength is the outcome. Once you realize and you know from experience, God is with me, strength will rise up. Where you were weary, strength will come. Not a physical strength. Your body could still be tired. Your emotions could be worn and tired. A spiritual strength will come from deep within Yeshua, Jesus, as you draw out joy out of the well that's already within you. Remember in Nehemiah when the Lord told Nehemiah to tell the people to quit weeping and crying because they'd read the word of God. They'd seen how much they had disobeyed and backslidden, and they hadn't heard the word for a long time. So when they heard the word, it grieved them. And then Nehemiah has to stand up and say, hey, stop it. Stop grieving. This is not a time to grieve. Yes, you were wrong. Yes, you repented. But don't stay in grief, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Now I'm talking to somebody. Don't stay depressed, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. You start feeding on that depression. You like that victim mentality. You start enjoying, kind of pampering yourself, and you can feed yourself, the wrong kind of appetite. You feed on depression. Don't stay there, because the joy is where your strength is. If you stay there, you're going to run out of strength and you won't make it. You won't find the path of life that He has for you. You can't stay depressed. Yes, there's a time of grief. You can't afford to stay sorrowful. You can't afford to keep grieving over that loved one who's passed away, and it's been over years now and you're still grieving. You can't afford to do that. You won't have any joy. You need strength. And if you don't have joy, you don't see who God is. You don't see Him. You're in that room like I was last week with the blinds drawn, and it looks dark and you don't see anything. And all of a sudden, He appears just faintly, just to let you know, I'm here with you in your darkness. I am with you. I'll never leave you. I never have. I never will. I'm with you. Celebrate that part. Celebrate that part. Stress is a byproduct of a life not focused on Jesus. Stress is a byproduct. You're more focused on the stress, the cause of stress, than you are on Jesus. And you can't stay that way. You can't live that way. You can't stay in depression. You can't stay sad. You're going to have to draw out with joy from the wells of Jesus that's already in you if you're ever going to come out of this. And God says you can do it. He'll help you. Oh, preacher, all this talk about focusing on Jesus. How can I focus on a God that's invisible? How can you tell me to focus on Jesus? I can't see Him. It's not an outward focus. It's an inward focus, using your mind and your God-given gift of imagination that God gave you. God is an artist, and He has a variety of ways to speak to you so that you'll understand He's talking to you. You'll have your own vision. You'll have your own dream. And it'll be in a way that God paints a picture that, will mean something to you. Be careful about going to other people to interpret dreams and stuff for you. Be careful. Sometimes people are good at that. But your dream is your dream, and it was God's way of using images and things to communicate to you. Those things communicate something to you that may communicate something totally different to somebody else. Go to the Holy Spirit. He'll help you with that. He'll help you with that. So, well, all this talk about focusing on Jesus, how am I going to do that? How do I see a God that I can't see? That's what God wants you to discover. The joy of discovering His presence. that is with you right now. While you're sad, while you're depressed, while you're discouraged, while you don't worry, He's right now with you. He's right with you. The joy of discovering that. It will cause a radiance to come up in your eyes and in your face. It will bring life to you. But the result will be strength. The result will be strength. Satan is after your strength, ladies and gentlemen. Oppression, doubt, worry, weariness. Satan has got to get you to believe a lie in order to steal the joy that God gave you. Because it is His joy. And He gave it to you. And you do have joy. It's just way down there in that well. And Satan is out to steal your strength, your confidence. He'll whisper things to you in your mind while you're asleep at night. God's not with you. Things are going to get worse. They're not going to get better. And then when you believe a lie, and then you empower a lie by speaking a lie, you're empowering a lie and being robbed of your inheritance. Believers, how many believers are here today? How many unbelievers are here today? I'm just asking. I hope unbelievers are here. I want you to be here. So you become a believer. But here's the point. When you are born of the Spirit, born again, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, faithfulness, meekness, and self-control were imparted in you because that's God's DNA. It was in your spirit. It's in your spirit. It's your inheritance. Jesus said that he was going away, and he said that he was going to give us His joy, that our joy would be full. He says, I'm going away, but I'm going to give you my peace. So you can have it in the world. You need, so it's His. All that's your inheritance. But your inheritance is being stolen from you right before your eyes. And you're allowing it. Satan is out to get you to believe a lie. So when you say things with your mouth like, it's hopeless. Or you say things like, I'm overwhelmed. Or you say things, I'm stressed out. You don't realize what you're doing. Some of these little imp demons have been around you suggesting these things, just hoping that you would speak it out of your mouth. Because when the moment you spoke it out of your mouth, you empowered the lie that the enemy is trying to get you to agree with. You came into agreement with it. Now you've empowered it. And now he has the authority to come in and do some of it. Power of your words. Power of life and death in the tongue. And you're especially vulnerable when you're going through a wilderness time. So be careful. When you're in a wilderness time, do you know when Jesus was in the wilderness, he didn't talk much? When you're in a wilderness time, don't talk a lot. Just put a clamp on it. Don't talk much. You're going to get in trouble with your mouth. And the wilderness is necessary training ground. Don't beg to get out of it. Just now, Lord, you're here with me in this wilderness. Help me to discover you in the wilderness. What do you want to be to me in this time of my life? Who do you want to be to me? How do you want to reveal yourself to me? I'm all ears, Lord. Now, I want to have a warning to you. You have to learn to practice the presence of God all the time. I'm not 100%, but I try to practice the presence of God all the time. First thoughts in the morning, first words in the morning, last thoughts at night before going to sleep, driving the car alone, wherever I'm at, I'm talking to God, listening to God, having a conversation with God. You have to practice the presence. Those of you who, when you're in your wilderness and all you see is wilderness, you got to be careful. Because if you only see a wilderness and you don't by faith see an end to it and see a promised land, it's greater. Those who only see a wilderness will die in the wilderness. All of Israel That generation, they died in the wilderness. That's all they could see was the wilderness. We see no way. We see no hope. We don't see. And only two, Joshua and Caleb, saw more than a wilderness. They saw the promised land. They said, the Lord's with us, so certainly we can do this. And those who only see the wilderness will die in the wilderness. Our life here on earth, ladies and gentlemen, is all about knowing God better. That's it. If I could sum it up, I would say the purpose of life here on earth, the short time we have, is just to know God better. To know Him. It's training ground. We're going to be with Him in eternity. It's just to know Him better. So, we're learning. Don't be hard on yourself. You're learning. I don't care how many laps you got to go around, you're learning. Everybody say, I'm learning. Because that's the truth. You may feel like you're not learning, but yeah, you are. You're learning. And let me give you a little encouragement here if you're going through a hard time. It is virtually impossible to become Christ-like when everything's going well. You want to ask me how I know that? Anybody want to sign up and be a preacher? A lot of wannabe preachers. They don't have any idea. Don't do it unless God calls you to do it. Don't do it. We're learning. I'm learning. And I think part of the reason God had me become a pastor, preacher, is not because I'm an eloquent speaker or anything like that. Is He's training me. I have probably had to, Pam and I have had to grow in ways we probably would not have grown because we'd have chosen a much easier path. This wasn't anything we picked on our bucket list, say, boy, I really want to be a preacher when I grow up. No. But I think it was necessary training. And I thank God for it now. We're learning. We're learning how to stand in God. We're learning how to rejoice in the Lord always. We're learning how to give thanks always. We're learning how to enjoy His presence in all things, the good, the bad, the ugly. We're learning. We're learning. Therefore, every trial, every problem has a particular aspect of God's nature attached to it. And it's God's goal for us to experience it. The things that God allows that He could stop, He has something attached to it that is necessary for us to get. And our question for any trial should be this: what fruit of the Spirit, God, has been assigned to this current trial that I'm in? Is it patience? Is it kindness? And by the way, joy has been attached to every one of them. You know that, right? James said, my brethren, count it all joy when you're in various trials, diverse trials. So it doesn't matter. There's joy, and there's supposed to be joy found in every one of them because you're supposed to discover God in that trial in a way that you would have never discovered Him. I had a dream some time ago where Pam and I were, and some kids in the car, we were in a car, and we were floating in this car in a stream of water. That's kind of odd. So we're in this car, and we have some kids with us, and we're floating in this stream. We're just floating along. And all of a sudden, we come to a big slope. And we go down this stream, and we're in a slope, and the car's speeding up, and we're going down in this car. And we can look ahead, and looking ahead, there's a great big lake. And there's people out there swimming, having fun, and all that. And we saw a car in front of us. And this car in front of us was a ways in front of us. He was going down the slope. And when he got down to the bottom of the lake and splashed into the lake, his car floated over here into the dark water, real deep blue. And then it just sunk and disappeared. And so seeing that, we didn't go right. I said, let's turn left. We got down to the bottom, hit this lake, and we turned left. And we floated over to a sandy area that was where people were standing and stuff, and the car just went to a certain point, and it just stuck in the sand right here. And I got out of the car, and I ran up and got somebody to help me with a tow truck or something like that, pulled the car out of the lake, and got in the car, turned it on, and kept right on going. You say, what in the world does that mean? You ate too much pizza? Well, I had to you got to meditate on this with the Lord. So I did. I wrote that all that down in the middle of the night, got up and wrote that down. Next day, I just meditated on it, and said, now, Lord, what does this mean? Nothing's coincidental with you. Everything has significance. And I asked the Lord, and this is what I wrote down. This is what I believe he gave me, the interpretation. He said, God is with you. He is the one that keeps you afloat, or else you would have sunk by now. So stay calm in every adversity. You're going somewhere. God has a path for you that's different from others. When you get stuck, you can get unstuck and keep moving forward. Discover and depend on God being with you. This is your joy that results in your strength. I don't know if that means anything to you, but I wanted to share that with you, because that may be somewhere you are right now. God is deeply committed to revealing himself to us, more than we are committed to finding that out. When you were born again, you became what is known in the Bible, the bride of Christ. You're the bride of Christ. Men, women, you're the bride of Christ. God himself is the bridegroom. And most religions, if you think about it, are based on what do we have to do to get God to accept us, most religions in the world. But God, Christianity is the only, I hate to say religion, it's relationship, that is not based on us trying to do something to get God to like us or accept us. It's that God purposely shows that he loves us first. He comes and joins himself to us first, if we'll recognize him and receive him. In fact, the word bridegroom in Hebrew is the word katan, which literally means he who joins himself. He joins himself to the bride. Now, when people get married, what do they actually have to do? Well, they take vows. And they'll stand right up here, or right up there, and I'll say, you know, you take so-and-so for richer, poorer, better, or worse, sickness and health, to death, do you part? And they say, yep. Do you? Yep. They fully intentionally believe that they do, and they intend at that moment to carry out those vows. But the truth is, we don't know. Are they going to be faithful to do that? We don't know if one of them is not going to be faithful, or both of them not. We don't know. We have no idea. Don't let me scare anybody away from this, but that's why I don't like doing weddings anymore. I'd rather do a funeral, because I know where that one's going. I ain't got to worry about that. Funeral, and I don't mean any disrespect, babe. Funeral's good. When you're sitting up here and these two people are looking, yeah, promise I will, and you're before God and making these vows, and then 50% of them don't keep it, you kind of go, wow, that's discouraging. So anyway, a funeral's a lot easier. Oh, help me, Jesus. Okay. So we take these vows. And we do the same thing when we come to Christ. See, God's the bridegroom. And you're the bride. You've been walked down to meet Jesus. And the vows are given to you. Do you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son, the living God, that God raised him from the dead, and that Jesus is Lord? And you say with your mouth, I confess with my mouth, Jesus is Lord. He is my God. He's my Savior. Vows are taken, exchanged. And then later, after the vows and after the ceremony, intimacy that you share with no one else ever. You share intimacy with one another. God reveals himself to you. You reveal yourself to God in a safe place. And you grow in intimacy now the rest of your life here, spending time with him, letting him whisper sweet nothings in your ear, letting him show you little ways he's with you, letting him reveal himself, and you, the joy of discovering His faithfulness. He's with me all the time. Even in my darkest moment, even when I have backslidden, even when I turn my back on God, He is faithful. He has been with me, and He has never forsaken me. He has never left me. He is with you now. He'll be with you through all eternity, forever and forever and forever and forever and a million forevers after that. He is faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful. So would you stand to your feet? As you've let me preach to you for a long time and tell you about this faithful God, He wants you to discover Him. He wants you to find Him. He wants you to know things about Him that you do not know yet. He challenges you. Bring Him your darkest moments. Bring Him the good, bad, and the ugly. Bring Him the things you're afraid of. Bring yourself to Him. And let Him have the opportunity to reveal Himself to you. Altar workers, would you come up and stand here with me? There may be people here today that would love for someone to pray with them about a burden that's on their heart. These people are wonderful at it. They're really gifted at being able to pray with you, minister to you. Sometimes you need a human body just to comfort you. If you need that today, this is the place. Come. Let God speak through somebody else to you. Just come. You can come right now. If you're here today and your heart's heavy, and I believe that there are some heavy, heavy, heavy hearts here today. Disappointed with God, disappointed how long the trial has been, disappointed how hard it can be. I urge you, don't walk out of here without first coming up here and giving God a few moments alone. Whether you stand, whether you kneel, whether you sit, doesn't matter. Just come right now. Make your way up here. If something has been spoken today through this pulpit to you, you know God is knocking on your door, then don't walk away. Open the door. Take the next step and say, Lord, I hear you. What's next? What do you want to reveal to me? Who do you want to be to me today in this? And then just be still and listen. Listen. Prayer's about listening more than it is talking. Just listen. Focus on Him. Listen. And of course, as always, if there's anybody here who's not born again, you're not sure, you want to know more about what this means, come up here and talk to me. I'd be glad to talk to you. Or any one of these counselors. Just come right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for the joy of discovering you are here. You're right here with us. You've never left us. You've never forsaken us. I'm sorry for the times that I personally have not acknowledged your presence. And I ask that you help me, Holy Spirit, and all of us here to learn to be aware of your presence, to live in the fear of the Lord, the awareness that you are here. And thank you, God. Thank you, God. Now come minister to your people, Holy Spirit, in the way that only you know how. And I thank you for it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Just begin to thank God. Just begin to thank God out loud. Begin to thank Him. Thank Him. You want an encounter? You've got to make a move. The Bible says if you draw near to God, He'll draw near to you. Come. You say, I want an encounter. Well, just come up here and talk to God. You say, why do I need to come up there? Because somehow it helps you to exercise some level of faith rather than just to stand where you are. I'd encourage you just to come. Come up here and stand. Go to someone. Say, lay hands on me. Pray for me. I need help. You don't even have to say what it is. I just need help. Come. These altar workers are waiting. They've been praying about God, whoever you send to me today, Maybe some of them have a word for somebody. They're waiting to be, let God speak through them to you. If you're done, God bless you, release you, be blessed. Come back Wednesday night, learn about praying in tongues. But if you're not, come up here and be ministered to. Come and be still. Open your journal, sit down, listen. Let God be God. Yedoria patondola keshela yoto. Yela roronta tia sarariamboke. Boria ratia siara malakuru.